to be praised, but we have to evaluate how great God is in our life. Sometimes we allow our circumstances to become greater than God because we're looking at what is rather than who is. We focus on things that grab our attention. We focus on things that are interesting and not on God. So I want to share with you a beginning of a series as we look at our theme for this year. We're actually trying to discover more about God, more about His goodness, and more about His love. And I forgot the theme. That's why I'm continuing to talk. So I'll get to that in a minute. But I want us to focus on what are the hang-ups to becoming more like God? What are the hang-ups to us becoming holy and righteous before God? So we're going to look at the life of a man by the name of Lot. Lot. And as you recall, Lot was Abraham's nephew. He was Abraham's nephew. But Lot did not have the same faith that Abraham had. There were some things going on in his life that prevented him from really seeking God. And so at the beginning of this year, we need to ask ourselves, what's working in my life that prevents me from seeking God? Not anybody else outside. I'm talking about me. And so with that in mind, let's look at a verse of Scripture today from Genesis chapter 19, verses 24 through verse 26. It reads, "Then the Lord rained fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah out of heaven from the Lord. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground." Verse 26. "But his wife," that's Lot's wife, "looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." But his wife looked back, and became a pillar of salt. So obviously, which direction should you be looking? Come on, say it.
Forward.
Amen. Can you change anything with the things behind you?
Not one.
God forgives the past, but He doesn't change it. So here's what we want to talk about today. If you look at your neighbor, say, neighbor,
don't look back.
Come on, y'all didn't mean that. You come on, be real. Neighbor, don't look back. Don't look back. You got it? You may be seated as we pray. Father, thank you again for your love and your grace. I pray that you would speak clearly, speak boldly, that we might understand your will and understand your ways. Help us to not look back. It's 2018. You would have never brought us to this year if you wanted us to live in the past. Some people, even though they're walking around, they're dead because they are buried to the past. They can't get over it. But today is a new day. This is a new year. I am alive. And I will look forward. And I will look to the one who has redeemed me, saved me, and filled me with His love. I don't have time nor the strength to look back. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Clap your hands one more time if you believe that. All right. So here we go. What's going on with Lot's wife? What's happening that would cause her to turn from where she's going to her past and what's behind her? Well, to bring you up on what's happening, you recall the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. You recall that God overthrew those cities because of their wickedness and their vile way of living. You recall that God rained fire upon them. The angels of God were actually sent down to destroy those cities. Now, I don't need to do a commentary that we're living in times like that. Wickedness, people rebelling against God and His ways. But our point today is to not point to that group of people, but to look at our own selves and ask our own selves, what are the things that's keeping me from being where I ought to be? Now, even though I may not be turned into a pillar of salt, something will happen if I turn around and I look back. Something is going to happen. Something devastating is going to happen if I focus on the past, where I came from, rather than looking at where I'm going. As a minimum, I endanger myself of not knowing where I'm going because I could stumble, right? If I'm looking back and I'm trying to move forward, then I'm gonna cause some problems. I'm gonna bring some harm to myself. I can tell you something else from the country, any country folk in here. You cannot plow a road looking back. It's gonna be crooked every time, right? How many agree with that? So the thing that we need to do, as much as you are tempted to look back, all right? As much as you tell yourself, I need to look back, what's the word for today? What's the word for today? Don't look back. Quit looking at it. It's not helping you. It's not shaping you for where you need to be and what you need to do in God's army. Are you with me? And too many churches, too many believers have their focus on the wrong thing rather than looking to God and knowing that He brought me this far. And if He brought me this far, I'm not going to look back. I'm not going to look back. The past is behind me. The future is before me. God's strength is in me, and I'm going to move forward. Amen? So let's get into this. Here's the warning. Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, These three words, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. The only time that we read about Lot's wife is in this passage in Genesis. So obviously in the Hebrew culture, in the Jewish culture, there was a lesson to be learned from Lot's wife and what she did. You don't hear about her being a bad person. You don't hear about her gossiping, telling lies. You don't hear about her living a reckless life. The only thing you hear about this woman is that she looked back and became a pillar of salt. Why are y'all so quiet? I know it's cold, but let's warm up, all right? So we need to understand, what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying as He brings our attention to Lot's wife? In the context of where our Lord was speaking, He was telling His disciples, okay, the end times are going to come. And what you need to do is to be prepared for those times. You need to be looking forward, and you need to be asking God for guidance so that when those days come, they don't take you by surprise. Now, is any of the things, or should I say, are any of the things happening in our current time, is it taking you by surprise? It's kind of obvious, right? You know that once you have certain conditions and certain things happen, the result is going to be this way. You know that. Amen? So it should not take you by surprise. We don't need to keep looking at it. Lord have mercy. We don't need to keep dwelling on it. If it's broke, guess what? It's broke. If the horse is dead, no need of trying to tell him, giddy up. He ain't going nowhere. Get off. All right? If you got to walk, move on. Amen? All right, so remember Lot's wife. Now, there's some things I want you to recall about this. This brings us into the life of this woman. This brief history that the scripture is recording for us, it brings some things to light that she did that needs to capture our attention. Before they left Sodom, before they got out of the city, the angel of the Lord told them, all right, y'all hurry up. You hurry up and get out of here, because I cannot begin the judgment phase until the deliverance phase is over. Now, anybody who wanted to be delivered from Sodom had time to walk out. They had time to get out of town. Didn't matter what they did, because I'm going to tell you, if you think Lot was all that good, we're going to follow along and we're going to see that, he had some shaky stuff going on in his life. Look at our own life. Are we perfect? No, but you're following your faith. Now, let me tell you this. Because you're following your faith, you may not be perfect, but you're a whole lot better than what you used to be. Trust me. Amen. You're a whole lot better than what you used to be. You're walking better. You're looking better. I have to look at you every Sunday. And you have to look at me also. And wouldn't you agree that we're a whole lot better than what we used to be? We don't have it all together, but thank God it's not what it used to be. Because our life was a mess. We were reckless. Now, here's what the angel said. Escape for your life. Escape for your life. Do not look back. Neither stay in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. Clear message. Get out of here. Don't look back. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If something is messed up, that's why I don't stop and look at accidents. All right? When people are driving along the highway and they see an accident, they think it's opportunity for them to stop and look. If you can't help, get out of there. Some of y'all missed it because y'all were always saying, no, I want to see who is... You know, move on. We're watching the world in one of the biggest train wrecks that we've ever seen before. And we're saying, well, what? You can't do a thing about it. All right, except pray and except do your part and stay in your lane while you watch you over in somebody else's lane. Now, they got another wreck. I'm going to move on. He said, escape. Get out of here. Don't look back lest you be consumed. Clear message. Did they get it? Well, as we find out, Lot was going forward. The two daughters were going forward. And what caused this girl to want to look around, I do not know. I got some suggestions. I got some things I want to look at. But I want to look at some things that can happen in our life. The first one, when we talk about hang-ups to holiness, the first one, distracted from following God. Let's say you have an event that takes place in your life. And now because you've got this emergency and you got to give time to that, you think that you can dwell on that and it automatically going to fix everything about your life. Number one, ask yourself, can I change it? If you can't change it and all you're going to do is dwell on it, you know what you need to do? All right, that's it. Cut your losses, leave it alone. I'm done. Amen. You don't keep plowing a field that ain't growing nothing. Woo, that's some good preaching this morning. And it's wearing you out. It's wearing you out. It's wearing you down because you can't get past the distraction. You ought to be able to say with the old folks, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me now. And I'm not going to let this distraction cause me to lose my focus on who God is and what he's doing in my life. My circumstance might not be good, but God is good. Can you clap your hands to that one? I know it's cold, but sometimes you can warm your hands up by clapping them. Yeah. Second thing that happens, we'll talk about this next week, seeking opportunities and not God. Seeking opportunities and not God. That was Lot now. The first one was his wife, which I think Lot had something to do with that. Second one has to do with Lot himself seeking opportunities and not God, and we're going to see how that was his downfall. That was his problem. Third thing we're going to look at is compromising God's word. When the angel, and I'll talk about this later with Lot, when the angel told them to get out, Lot and his whole family was taking their time. They're arranging pictures on the wall. They're going, well, should I take this? And the angel had to tell them, wait a minute, you ought to understand. We're getting ready to destroy this place, and no need of you arranging pictures and straightening up the furniture. This whole place is going to be destroyed. You need to get out of here. Now, I don't know whether they were doing all of that, but the Bible says that they clearly, in Genesis 19, they lingered. They lingered. I want to ask you a question. If Christ were to come back tomorrow, which he's going to return, and it could be tomorrow, but if he were to return tomorrow, and he said to us, get ready, what would you do to be ready? Certainly, when you wouldn't look at the small stuff in your life, you would look at what's most important. A lot of us would spend our time in prayer. Oh, God, get me right with you. Oh, God, help me. Lord, I need to confess that. Amen? That's me. That's me. Why? Because I don't want him to come at a time that I'm not prepared. You don't compromise God's word. And the last thing we're going to do, failing to act on God's word. Failing to act. When the angel said, okay, we're going to destroy this place, brought him out of the city, and he told him, go to the mountain. You know what Lot said? Why can't I go to this little town? And he didn't act on God's word, but that's not the only thing. Lot also put himself in a position that he compromised the values of his own family. Lord have mercy. Preach, preacher. Because he was not acting on, not living by what he was supposed to be proclaiming. Amen. All right, we'll get to that, and I'll explain that later. Let me break this thing down. I want to bring up this term called horseshoe Christian. Anybody played horseshoes? Now, first of all, do you know why you're playing horseshoes with the horseshoe? That's because the thing is too worn out, amen, to really put on a horse. You get it? Now, what do we mean by horseshoes? The game of horseshoes, you got to make a ringer to score, right? And what a horseshoe Christian is, they'll say, as long as I'm close, I count. As long as I can look like I'm close to God. Because that's the way we used to play it in the country. You know, whether you got the ringer or not, as long as whoever was closer to the stop, right, or the stake, it counted, right? And you say, that's one for me. But unless you had a ringer, come on now, talk to me. You were not counted. And you got a lot of Christians, well, I'm closer than you are. I'm closer than the preacher. I'm closer than the deacon. Come on. I'm not doing what they're doing. You're being a horseshoe Christian. And what Lot's family was, they represented horseshoe Christians. They were close to God because Abraham loved God. So they had this kind of hand-me-down, secondhand faith rather than trusting God for who he was. Are y'all with me? So every time they do something, they get close. Every time they would worship, they could have gone over at any time and said, hey, Abraham, Uncle Abraham, let's have a worship service. No, Abraham had to pray for them. Lot got in trouble. Abraham had to come and get him out of trouble. Horseshoe. Horseshoe. Only time you pray is when you need God. Horseshoe. Only time you sing and worship God is when he gets you out of something. Then you dance a little bit. Yeah, the Lord bless me. My car broke down, but now my car is fixed. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. All right. But what about worshiping God for who he is? For how mighty he is. Even though he may not bless you, you know that he can. Even though you may not receive everything that somebody else has got, you got God. And you know, if you got God, you got everything. Oh, I wish I could preach the way I feel. Because you know that he's real. Amen. Anybody know he's real? So don't have that attitude. What got them into trouble is that they were horseshoes rather than being the real thing. Amen. Don't allow your life to get to that point where God can't use you on the real thing. In other words, horseshoes are supposed to be on the horse. That's why you call it that. But worn out and can't do anything else except, well, this Lord help me, Lord help me. All right, let's move on. Here's a verse that I think will help us understand what's going on. I'm going to have to move through this very quickly. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, please turn to it. Book of Hebrews chapter 11, it says something about what it means to be fully dedicated to the things of God. All right, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 11, that faith chapter, it says that the people of faith confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. That's when you recognize you don't belong there. Abraham, even though God gave him the land of promise, the man still kept looking for a city that was made by God. That's because you know that God's got something better. How many of you know that God's got something better in 2018? Amen. You didn't get it all in 2017. You didn't get it in 2016. Greater things are prepared for those that love God. Amen. So they were pilgrims and strangers, for that such thing, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. When God tells you to get out of here and move on to someplace else, that's because God has something prepared for you. All right? And truly, if they had been mindful of that country or the city from where they came from, they might have had opportunities to return back. Now, as much as the city of Sodom was on fire, here's what I believe. I believe that Lot's wife turned around because she forgot something back in the city. I believe what caused her to turn around is that she was lamenting having left that place. But let me tell you something. As a sinner saved by grace, I'm glad I got out of the mess I was in. Amen? Amen. And as the old folks say, amen, I'm not steadin' about going back because I know what it did for me. I know where it brought me to the end of my journey. Are y'all with me? All right, now, so here's what we got to do. The people who are of God that confess by faith, they're pilgrims and strangers. They seek a better city. Amen. How many of y'all comfortable in this world? I'm looking for something better. I thank God for his blessings here. Don't get me wrong. But I'm looking for something a little bit better than here. Amen. As a matter of fact, I still like that house that Jesus put on the market when he said, and by the way, it's free. And he said, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, I'm looking for that house. The one I live in now, I'm still paying for it. And even though some of you said, I paid my mortgage off a long time ago, you still got to pay taxes, so it ain't free. And guess what's happening to it? It's breaking down. Amen. Are you with me? But the house I'm talking about is never going to break down. It's never going to get old. Doesn't need any paint. Amen. As a matter of fact, the streets are made with gold. Ooh, shout, Coleman, because you know that you're looking for a city. Now, had they had that attitude, they would not have had some reluctance to getting out of the place where God was delivering them. When you know that where you're going is better than where you've been, how many of y'all lament when you get rid of an old car and you got a new one? Man, I sure do miss my old car. Number one, your payment's going to help you to remember you got a new one. Yeah. That old car's gone. All right? But then you don't get into something new by thinking about the old. So what I want to do is I want to help you frame your mind so you can stop thinking about the old stuff. What shoulda, coulda, woulda, and what is. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has a greater future for you. Matter of fact, I'm going to get to that in just a second. But let me just go over a couple of things that was happening with Lot's wife, because I want you to understand that it could happen to you as well. First thing that we see in her life is that you can become easily distracted and pay attention to the wrong things. She paid attention to the wrong things. Instead of looking forward, she literally started looking back and was turned into a pillar of salt. Touch your neighbors and neighbor, you better pay attention. All right, pay attention. Second thing that happened to Lot's wife, you know, and I love this because Lot's wife, she lost her family position. All right? In other words, for you to be walking along with your family and then taking your eyes off your family, you rolling your eyes. You ever heard the phrase? What's important to you? What really has value? And if people don't mean something to you, then the church means nothing. Boy, that's deep. Now, are all people good? Are you good? Don't answer the question. But look at somebody and say, I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I'm getting better. Yeah. If you're sitting beside your wife or a relative in your family, tell them I'm getting better. Trust me. It's 2018. I can't do the stuff. Hey, man, it's a new year. I got to change programs here. All right? I'm getting better. She looked in a different direction from her family. She was looking at what used to be rather than looking at the reality of what she still had. Let me tell you something. In times of crisis, which I believe they're going to happen to this nation, if we lose everything, if the stock market crashes, which I don't know. I'm not an economist. I'm not a genius. But you can't keep going up and not come down.
Amen.
All right. People say, oh, the stock market is climbing. It's climbing. But what goes up? Remember gravity now. What goes up, it's going to come down. And I've learned this. At times when you don't have everything that you want, as long as you can reach out and grab somebody's hand and you can say to one another, we're going to get through this. You might not have the silver or the gold, but when you can reach out and grab somebody's hand and tell them, we're going to get through this, all the money in the world could not buy the support of the people around you. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. All right, let me move on. I'm preaching overtime now. I'm supposed to have been done a long time ago. So the third thing that Lot's wife did, not only did she take her eyes off her family, and not only did she look at the wrong things, but here's what she did. Lot's wife was thinking, probably thinking in her mind, that because she had gotten out of the city, that she was safe. All right, I'm not going to be burning, so I'm out of the burn zone. I'm out of the fire zone. So I'm up here on the hillside. Let me just watch. let me just help y'all out with something. Some of us, when we see people getting what they deserve, are y'all with me? When we see them getting payback, are you listening? We want to get up on the hillside and go. Get him, God. But do you know that's not God? That's the devil in you wanting to get them back. Because Jesus said what? Love your enemies. Now, I know they're getting it. And I know you're saying to yourself, man, they deserve that. But don't get up on the hillside looking back at them going, yeah, boy, y'all cheated me. I don't know. That may be what she was thinking. She looked back, right? She saw the city was burning, and I know a whole lot of us got this attitude, think you can do me in. That's justice. That's poetic justice. That's you getting back what you did. Number one, you ain't in position to talk like that. Because the only reason why God didn't pay you back is because he had mercy on you. God had mercy on you. You are not that good. And the only reason why you can stand today is because of the grace and the love of God. Amen. Is that good? So don't be getting up there talking about, I'm glad they're getting paid back. And I've even seen people go as far to say this when someone gets sick. Well, you know, they did all that and they're getting what they deserve. Hold up. Slow your roll now. You mean to tell me people get sick because they're getting payback? Come on now. You ain't God. You in his seat. Get out of his seat. Get out of his seat. We don't know why people get sick. Why do babies die then? Have they done something wrong? I'm talking about the graveyard we got out here. We got short graves. We got long. Amen. Are you with me? You are not in position to talk like that because you're not God. The only thing we can do is say, Lord, have mercy. And Lord, help that person as they're going through their crisis. And are you learning something today? Don't look back. All right, I'm almost done. Two verses I want to leave you with as we look forward. Number one, your future's plan. Why in the world, if people are going to take a vacation, get on vacation and start thinking about home? Hey, the reason why you're on a vacation.
Yeah.
You're on a vacation to get your mind off home. All right? It's called vacating. Get away. And see, what a lot of people don't realize is when God brings you out of your past, he want to take you into your future. But if you still think about your past, you ain't got nowhere. I'm sorry to say that. I'm fussing at myself, Sharon. I'm trying to get at me, all right? Trying to walk in the future. Now, here I am, you know, I'm looking at the past and trying to walk forward, and I might stumble into something. Amen? Your future's plan. Jeremiah 29:11, God says this, I know the thoughts, or I know the plans that I have for you, thoughts of good and not evil, and to bring you to an expected end. Okay, here's God. Let me break that down to you. Here's God who says, I'm willing to take you by your hand, and I'm going to lead you into your future. You ever seen two-year-olds that get distracted? Can be a mess, right? Everything they see, they eye on, and here we go. God's trying to lead us into our future, and we're trying to get back to our past. God said, I know the plans I have for you. Plans are good and not evil, and to bring you to an expected end. The second one, he says, is if you're going to move forward, Book of Philippians, this is the New Testament, Book of Philippians 13, chapter 3 and verses 13 and 14. It says, forgetting those things which are behind. Matter of fact, say that with me. Forgetting. The things behind. Looking for the things ahead. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. So now, if you're pressing toward the high calling of God, you can't get there looking back. As a matter of fact, what you're beholding when you see God is something more lovely, something more perfect, something better than what you've ever seen before. Because if you think you've seen Jesus in just getting you out of stuff, you haven't seen Jesus until he brings you into the fullness of where you need to be. Amen. I'm talking about somebody who will walk with you, somebody who will talk with you, someone who will comfort you. I don't have anything to look back for because I know that I'm moving ahead. God bless you. I'm finished preaching. I'm not done, but I got to close it. I got to shut it down. Looking forward, not backward, is the direction we need to be in. Amen? Father, thank you for your goodness and your love. Lord, I needed this message. A lot of things that are tempting me to look back at the past, things I could have done, and people that, Lord, it just didn't work out, and situations, God. I could look back in the past, but, Lord, you're telling me a different story. Look ahead. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on where he's leading you and how he's directing you in your life. Lord, thank you for that. Help us, Lord, that we would not have that hang up in our life of being distracted by the things of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation today. If there be one, maybe you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ and you'd like to make that today, you have much to look forward to because of God's power and his goodness. I'm going to ask that we all stand, if there be one.